Work, work, work. Don't you just get sick of it? Aren't you sick and tired of doing work this summer? I don't know, it's just too darn hot most of the time. You go outside, you try to do some work, and you just fry. It is just too hot. And there's not enough help. There's never enough help. You look out, and what do you see? All the things that need to be done. Where do you even start? How do you even start? How do you even begin? There's too many loose ends, and there seems like there's no one ever to help you. I don't know. I'm starting to get too old for this. I need a break. I'm just working too much. And that's just my life. Then I look out at everybody else. And everybody else needs help. Everybody else needs my help. Just look at them. Most of them are ignorant. What does that mean? They just simply don't know, right? Not stupid. Stupid means you know, but you go ahead and do it anyway. No, they just don't know anything. You know. I know, we know, they're incapable. You don't do it that way. Come on, you just don't do it that way. That's not how you drive a nail. That's not how you line something up. That color doesn't look right. You just don't do it that way. And you have no sense of style. There's just no sense of style. Come on, there's the right way to do something, and there's the wrong way to do something. Or how to do something that's lasting. I swear, everybody's just making junk these days. It's just all junk. Now, I gotta help them. You've gotta help them. Unless you're one of those people, you gotta help them. Otherwise, who knows what's gonna happen? So then not only are you having to do your work, you're having to do everybody else's work too. Why can't people just do it right the first time? Of course, that's my way. If people just did it my way, we just wouldn't have to worry about so much. Oh, boy. All would just be well, wouldn't it? And then look at these scriptures today. These scriptures don't help us at all. What are they doing? They're telling us to work. They're telling us how we have to work. Oh, boy. It's just all about work. Well, let's go to our second lesson. Let's slog through these things, because after all, we're in church, and that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to look at these lessons that we have no control over. They just come our way, and we got to deal with them. So we go to our second lesson for today, and what do? We see verse 2, and the first thing that I read there, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. No kidding. Bear one another's burdens. I just talked about this, didn't I? How not only do I have to worry about all the stuff that I got to do, but I got to worry about the stuff that everybody else has got to do. I've got to bear their burdens. Are you kidding? You see what I mean? And always giving, always sacrificing. Don't you find yourself always giving and always sacrificing? And then on top of that, it's the law of Christ. The law of Christ? What's the law of Christ? I thought Christ was all about grace and love. And now it turns out there's this law of Christ too? Oh my goodness. And then it just keeps going. It just keeps going, doesn't it? We go to verse 9, and what does it say? So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So keep working hard and don't give up. Wow, I tell you, do not grow weary. I'm already weary. I'm already tired. And doing what is right, well, that's the hardest of all. Have you ever tried to do what is right? Boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm a perfectionist. So if I try to do what's right, that's going to take me all day and probably part of tomorrow. At least the Bible could say, you know what, just throw something together, anything, who cares? But I have to do what's right? And now I got to do that for everybody else? Well, I don't know. Let's go to the gospel. Maybe the gospel will help us out. Jesus usually has some words to say. Jesus usually gets us to think about things in a different way. Let's see if Jesus has anything to say today in our gospel reading from Luke chapter 10. And what does he say? He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. No kidding, Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his heart. Wait a minute. What? What? Okay, wait a minute. Maybe I found something here. Let's read this again. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Whoa, wait, what? Well, therefore, ask the Lord. You know, I never thought about that. I figure everything's up to me. I figure that everything rests on my shoulders, right? You know, I'm the one that's got to get it right. I'm the one that has to be right on target. I'm the one that has to have all the answers. I'm the one that has to be the perfectionist. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. I guess I never really thought about it that way. I guess if I read scripture a little closer, I always thought it was me. I thought I was the laborer and I had to go out and just work harder and harder and harder. And yeah, there's only a few of us and there's so much work to do. And here's Jesus today in Luke chapter 10 saying, therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Well, that's starting to make it sound like I'm not really ultimately the one in control. That's starting to make it sound like ultimately maybe I'm not the one that is calling all the shots or has to call all of the shots. I never thought about that. Well, let's keep going with the gospel. Let's keep going with the gospel. Now, you know, I don't know. I'm still kind of concerned about what it means to work and to labor and do it right. Well, let's see about those disciples. Let's see how they did. Let's go to Luke chapter 10 later on. What do? They're let loose. They go out into the countryside. Jesus gives them marching orders. And what do they do in verse 9? They cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Well, that's good. We talked about this last week, didn't we? Remember that? Talking about the kingdom of God and how, where is the kingdom of God? Don't confuse it with the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is here right now. We are gathered here right now and we are enjoying the kingdom of God. So here these guys show up and they heal the sick and it seems as though they're successful and it says the kingdom of God has come near to you. But then what does Jesus say? Well, it may not always work. It may not always work whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you. Go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Well, what do you know? The kingdom of God has come near, whether the people are healed or whether the people curse the disciples to their face. The kingdom of God has still come near. Once again, I wonder, is it really all about my perfectionism? Is it really all about how whether I get something done right or not? Is it all about whether I have it all figured out and everybody else does it my way? Because that's the best way. Or is it maybe something more? Is the kingdom of God really about God? Is it really about where God will go? Is it really about what God will say and what God will think? Yes, through the people. Seems like I remember something else. You are the vine and I am the branches. Without me, you can do nothing? Oh, I don't know. Did I read that somewhere? Maybe in one of the other Gospels. Maybe that maybe that Matthew, you know, he gets kind of crazy sometimes. Yeah. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Yes, when we are speaking the word of God, but yet regardless, the kingdom of God has come near. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I wonder if we could rephrase that a different way. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that you created a cabinet and you got it absolutely right. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that you got in a discussion with somebody and you beat them to a pulp because your logic was impeccable. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that, yeah, you are the best, whatever that may mean. But instead, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. So get out there, kiddo. Do it again and again and again. And do not fear, not because you're chasing the specter or the wraith of perfectionism, but because you just want to serve. And you're called to serve, and that is where the kingdom of God is. We go back to our second reading, verse 14. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. How am I crucified? Well, when something is crucified, it is killed. It is dead. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I live in the world, remember, but I am not of the world. Seems like maybe I read that somewhere else too. And I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know Jerusalem, right? That perfect city. You know Jerusalem, right? Where there's never any fighting or there's never any strife and everything is monolithic and everything is the same and everybody agrees about who and what God is. You know Jerusalem, right? Not split up into sectors. Not a place of disparagement. Am I really talking about Jerusalem? Our Jerusalem. Isaiah 66, for thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Jerusalem, the perfect city? I don't think so. But yet in Isaiah, it is still praised. It is still lifted up, and it is still seen as a place where all the nations of the world can come to be refreshed. I wonder, can we swap the word Jerusalem out and put in Bartonville? Or put in Peoria? Or put in maybe even the name of our subdivision where we live? Could that also be a place where we can experience comfort and love? I guess I leave the lessons today feeling a lot better because I see the grace of my Lord in what was said here today. I always love it when salvation is not up to me, because otherwise I'm doomed for failure. I love it when I read and I see and maybe I finally comprehend that salvation is the Lord's, and the Lord gives willingly to those who will hear and those who will listen. So now, follower of Christ, go into the field. Now, follower of Christ, go and bear the burden and do the work of the Lord, not because of perfectionism, but because of service. And rejoice, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Amen. This time we will sing the hymn of the day, We All Are One in Mission.